Invite you to stand now for the reading of God's word. Our text today comes from John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. I'll read the first 11 verses now and the rest in a little bit. John 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Father, many of your children are troubled today. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you allowed yourself to be troubled that we might know your overwhelming peace. So Holy Spirit, come and minister that peace to us now as we open your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, Holy Week gives us an opportunity every year to slow down and walk with Jesus through the most significant week of his life on earth. And some years we zoom in on each day between Palm Sunday and Resurrection Sunday, but this year is a little different. This year we're focusing on the Gospel of John, chapters 13 through 17. So over the next 5 days at noon, we'll sit in the room with Jesus and his disciples and hear what he said before he went to the cross. How significant are these chapters? If you think about it, John 1:1 reaches back to eternity past. In the beginning was the Word. The rest of John 1 through 12 covers about 3 years of Jesus' public ministry. So 12 chapters from eternity past up to Palm Sunday. But then when we get to chapter 13, the pace slows dramatically. John 13 through 19, 7 chapters, covers about 24 hours from Thursday to Friday. It's a very significant moment to John. So this week, I invite you to put yourself around the table with Jesus. And outside of here, read one chapter at a time. Read the whole thing together. Sit with it. Our passage today in John 13 is the doorway into these farewell discourses. Jesus washes his disciples' feet. And if that's all too familiar to you, just know that it was completely shocking to the disciples. In ancient literature, there is no other example of a superior voluntarily washing the feet of an inferior. Could God actually become a servant? There's so much here, but I want to focus in a few minutes on two things that I think will encourage us. And the first is this: Jesus knew what was about to happen. We see this in the first 3 verses of the passage. Jesus knew it was the week of Passover. People were streaming into Jerusalem to find a lamb, to eat the Passover meal, to remember how the Lord had set his people free from Egypt. But Jesus also knew that on his calendar, his hour had come. His hour hadn't come in John 2:4 when he was at the wedding in Cana. His hour hadn't come in John 8:20 when people tried to arrest him for what he was saying. But in John 12:23, Jesus says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And in John 12:27, he says, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I've come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." In John, Jesus' hour is about what he came to do. And he knew, unique in history, that he came to die. And he knew that that moment had arrived this week. He knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world and return to the Father. You think about what he was carrying. It said the Father had given all things into his hands. Imagine that. The road to glory was paved with suffering. Jesus knew all of this. He even knew, the passage says, who would betray him. And he was troubled, but he wasn't paralyzed. And he didn't run away. And he didn't turn inward. He actually turned outward. He knew it was about to happen to him, and he knew what it would mean for the disciples, and he knew exactly what they needed. Jesus had told them before on multiple occasions, this is what's going to happen to me, but for some reason, they either didn't hear it or they didn't believe it. They were expecting a crown still, not a cross. So their world was about to be rocked. And Jesus knew it. He knew they would be deeply troubled by everything that happened to him. He would be taken away from them in a terrible way. And after 3 years with him, the real question was going to be, how would they make it without him? In John 13 through 17, his ministry transitions from the world out there with all the people to this room in here with just his disciples. And Jesus was preparing them for what they didn't even know what was coming. So look at what he says in verse 7. What I'm doing, you do not understand now, but afterward, you will understand. You could write that statement over all of John 13 through 17. You could actually write that statement over all of our lives. What Jesus is doing, we do not understand now. In Ukraine, in Nashville, in our own lives. But our lack of understanding doesn't stop Jesus. He continues to speak to us, to love us, and work out his greater purposes for his church. Jesus knew that the men in that room would carry his gospel to the world, and in these chapters, he's equipping them to do so. Their world would be rocked, but they would find that in him, they had everything they needed. And friends, the mission hasn't changed. Jesus still calls us to carry his good news to the world, and though our world has been rocked, in him, we have all that we need. And think about what we need the most. It's already been mentioned, the assurance that he loves us. So isn't it amazing that with all that Jesus knew in that moment, our text says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end, even to the cross. Jesus knew what was about to happen, but he wasn't surprised. He wasn't out of control. That's the first point. And the second is this, Jesus loved and served his people. How did he do that? An early church father said it this way to capture the wonder of it. He who wraps the heavens in clouds wrapped round himself a towel. He who pours the water into the rivers and pools poured water into a basin. And he before whom every knee bends in heaven and on earth and under the earth knelt to wash the feet of his disciples. The task of washing feet, as you probably know, was reserved for servants and slaves. A slave would wash your feet when you entered the home. But here Jesus initiates this foot washing right in the middle of dinner. The disciples walk dirty streets. There's no telling what was caked on their feet. And God in the flesh takes the place of a servant and begins to wash their feet. I don't know if you've been part of a foot washing. I have, and it's uncomfortable, even if it's not Jesus washing your feet. It was a powerful moment you can imagine in and of itself right there, but it was so much more because Jesus used the foot washing as a preview of what he would do the next day on the cross. He was saying, I want to serve you. I'm going to die for you. And your life depends on how you respond to that offer. If we're honest, we can all relate to Peter. Lord, do you wash my feet? And then you shall never wash my feet. It actually seems like humility. It seems right. Jesus, you're the master. I'm the servant. Just let me serve you. But Jesus knows the greater must serve the lesser when the lesser can't help himself. Because this really isn't about washing dirty feet. This is about saving sinful people. Those who trust in what Jesus did on the cross are bathed in the ocean of his love and forgiveness. They're washed completely clean by the blood of the Lamb, whiter than snow, as we read. But if we won't receive what he did for us, we can't be part of him. He tells Peter, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. So as much as we feel like we should serve Jesus, we have to humble ourselves and let him serve us first. Friends, have you allowed Jesus to wash you? Have you trusted in his perfect sacrifice to cleanse you from your sin and make you new? If you have, this is a week to come and rejoice in the glory of who he is and what he has done for you. He's redeemed you and made you clean and set you free. If you're still resisting his offer like Peter tried to do, this is a week to draw near and consider his invitation. You can keep living like a king or a queen, trying to achieve greatness. You can keep living like a servant, trying to impress the king. Or you can fix your eyes on the king who became a servant. Because when this king, the King of Kings, became a servant, it really turned the world upside down. Jesus didn't just love us and serve us. He didn't just wash our feet and die on the cross. He actually told us what it means for us. Look at verses 12 through 17. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you also should do, just as I've done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." When we embrace how Jesus loved and served us, he changes us. Apart from Judas, I imagine every man in that room was radically transformed. They wouldn't argue anymore about who was the greatest because they had seen true greatness in the king who became a servant. And most of them would actually die as martyrs for the cause of Christ. Friends, Jesus knew that we would be troubled. And the waves of life, it feels like they're crashing into us, doesn't it? But the deep, deep love of Jesus is underneath us, all around us, leading onward, leading homeward. In the midst of all that Jesus knew, he loved us and he served us so that we might love and serve one another in our trouble. If we know these things, blessed are we if we do them. Let's take a moment to reflect on what the Lord is teaching us.